You are listening to the Effective Statistician Podcast, a weekly podcast with Alexander Schacht and Benjamin Pieske, designed to help you reach your potential, lead great science, and serve patients without becoming overwhelmed by work. This is episode number 71, Make Your Organization and Yourself Outsourcing Proof. We have an upcoming webinar about leadership. Go to theeffectivestatistician.com/leadership webinar and sign up for the webinar there. We are still working on the last details and you'll see there very soon the final title. So maybe by the time this episode goes live, it's already finalized. But the last webinars were really, really awesome. We had quite good attendances and lots of very, very good feedback. So you surely don't want to miss this one that's coming up soon. So just go to theeffectivestatistician.com/leadership webinar. So this episode is about outsourcing, and lots of people are afraid that they lose their job, made redundant because their job is outsourced. And that can even happen if you're working in a CRO because the job that you're doing is outsourced to another vendor. And we'll talk a little bit about that as well in this episode. But what can you do about it? It's actually quite a lot that you can do about it. And you'll learn about these tips and tricks and how you can actually add value to your organization. And I'm pretty sure that will be quite insightful. So have fun listening to this podcast episode. This podcast is created in association with PSI, a global membership organization dedicated to leading and promoting best practice and industry initiatives. Join PSI today to further develop your statistical capabilities with access to the awesome video on demand content library, free registration to all PSI webinars, and much, much more. The reduced rate is just £20 per year for non-high-income countries and £95 per year for high-income countries. Visit the PSI website at psiweb.org to learn more about PSI activities and become a PSI member today. This show was created in association with PSI. Thanks for listening. Please visit theeffectivestatistician.com to find the show notes and learn more about our podcast to boost your career as a statistician in the health sector. And don't forget to sign up for the webinar there. And so in the end, that will help you to reach your potential, lead great science, and serve patients. So go on, just be an effective statistician. Welcome to another episode of The Effective Statistician, and this time it's again Benjamin and myself. Hi Benjamin, how are you doing?
Hi Alexander. Well, it's hot in here. Actually, we record this session at the time when we have like 35 to 40 degrees, depending on where you are in Germany. So it feels a little bit warm.
Yeah, but it's already close to 10 o'clock. In the evening, well, our little ladies didn't want to go all asleep, so we are a little bit delayed with the recording tonight. But for you, you can listen to it anytime, anywhere. Maybe it's freezing at your end at the moment.
In the aircon car.
So the topic today is actually a pretty interesting one, given that Benjamin works at a CRO and I'm working in a pharma organization. And the topic today is really about outsourcing. Well, lots of people, at least in the pharma organizations, may fear that their work is outsourced and by that they're made redundant and they will lose their jobs and things like that. Of course,
need to come to a CRO.
Yep. That could happen, yeah. And there's cases where, you know, complete stats organizations have been outsourced or, you know, and or moved completely into CROs. So if you think of the former Höchst stats organization that spin out and formed the Covian. And so there is, you know, pretty big CROs that basically that's their origin story, so to say, or that, you know, that there's, you know, a person left the organization and took a whole department with them, basically sold the services back to the original company. So lots of different things happening. And of course, it's great if you're in the driving seat of that and you're not kind of driven out of the organization. But that's the topic of today.
Yeah, that's so it's a little bit about, you know, how to work or how to make make the company aware of what you're doing, of how you're doing it. So basically to show off a little bit and see, you know, really what is the value of having the service that you're providing in-house. But again, and the other side, you know, CROs are waiting.
So you know, let's have a little bit of a, you know, bigger look into this. There is actually industries where this outsourcing was really kind of taken to the extreme. So if you, for example, look into the car industry, automotive industry, they, you know, used to be very integrated companies, and then they outsourced, and they outsourced it to suppliers, and these suppliers further outsourced, and then third line outsourcing and fourth line outsourcing up to very, very super specialized companies that were then able to deliver to lots of different vendors, and, you know, where you may find that they, you know, then supply nearly everybody. Mm-hmm. But then they're super specialized and,
But the same actually may happen in our area as well. I mean, just imagine there's a pharma company working with a different pharma company and they're outsourcing to a CRO who has sub providers, third-party providers, for example, in other areas. So basically, it's up to four levels easily, what I know from my experience, that where we have outsourcing to outsourcing to outsourcing. So it's real life also for us.
And of course, what I have seen over time is that there's a kind of that goes in waves. So sometimes there's a wave where everything is outsourced, and then there's a wave where everything is insourced again. And if you're a little bit longer with the industry, you probably have seen these waves come and go. I think the key for us individual statisticians, for you as a listener to notice, is what can you actually do about it? So what can you do about it? What can you help your organization do about it so that you're not outsourced? And I think that primarily goes down to bringing specific value to the organization, and that is also seen by the organization. I think these are two different things. I think very often we do amazing things and never talk about it. And then, you know, nobody higher up knows about it. And if they don't know about it, well, you're just a number, or potentially just a number in a numbers game, and just a kind of cost line somewhere in a spreadsheet, and that's it.
Yeah, I think we had some topics around this in previous episodes, where how to present yourself, how to appear. I mean, I'm not talking about this topical marketing, you know, where you just present yourself without value, or with, you know, not the value that you would supposed to see. But it's really about how to present yourself in a group, in meetings, to your supervisor and above, and how to work with them. So this is there. I think we touched this quite a bit. Where the internal marketing for yourself. So what value you bring to the organization is shown, and how you can bring yourself into the position of be of everyone, or like the nearer environment of yourself is aware what you're doing and that you are there and not a single number.
Yeah. And I think the key thing is that this is about things that are not easily outsourceable. I don't know whether that's a word, but I'm pretty sure you understand that, you know, activities that you can do because you're working in the organization and you're not coming from outside of the organization. Because, of course, working in the organization, you have stronger networks. You may have deeper insights into how the organization actually works. You have deeper insights maybe into the indication, better have a connection with the customers of your organization, you know, whether that be regulatory customers or physicians or patients. And so if you are able to provide value to them, then you provide value to the organization. And so that is an important point in it. But of course, what's also an important point in it is cost. There needs to be a good relationship between the cost and the innovation. So I've seen, you know, that the higher people climb up the ladder and the more promotions they get, of course, they need to even more show their value, because they have a higher price tag associated with their work. So the more you're climbing up, the more pressure it is on you to show the value of your the specific value that you bring to the organization, being an internal statistician.
Yeah, I think it's a very, very good point, but very difficult to define what the value or the costs are. Especially because outsourcing to a CRO usually is quite easy to measure. So you would say, you know, you do it for a certain price, one delivery or one output costs this, plus a meeting and so on. So you have per study project, you have a value, your costs that are associated with the CRO on the one side. On the other side, if you do this internally and try to value or try to find out what the costs are, I think this is difficult. I don't know. Do you have any ideas or any suggestions on how to compare the numbers or how to bring a person's costs into the game?
Yeah, so there's of course lots of different problems associated with it. You know, as an internal worker, you have all the overhead costs, of course. You know, kind of starts with kind of your own PC, or you know, goes up to the HR representatives that, you know, deals with you, or the rooms that you're sitting in, or whatever. So these may be, you know, on average be easy to calculate. But I think what's much more difficult is these things like, oh, when you're sitting in the organization, there's not a kind of very often a cost associated to do extra work. So you know, it's much more difficult to push back and say, we want to have, don't know, this additional set of analyses or whatsoever. When people basically think it's for free when it's done internally. Yeah. Whereas if it's outsourced, of course, there's usually a clearly defined price tag to it. And then it's about, do we have the budget for it? Should we fight for the budget for it? And, you know, people have a little bit more serious considerations about it. But I think the key thing is you need to be aware about what are these costs? And you need to have the feeling about, okay, if we would outsource that, how much would that cost actually? So that you can have these discussions internally. Yeah. And I think one important piece is, of course, internally, you know, you don't have these formal interfaces very often, and that makes things a little bit easier for people to hand over work to you. But that shouldn't be kind of the only benefit that you can show when you work internally.
But is it just one sentence back, is, you know, you said that about the costs and how to discuss the costs, but do you think a statistician is usually in the position of, you know, being involved in such discussions? Isn't this a decision where, you know, about costs and how to present costs and how to calculate the costs for it? Isn't this in the management usually part of the management?
I think as a statistician, you should at least have a feeling for the ballpark number.
So, I mean, for yourself, not necessarily for discussions, but just to have an idea of yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. So that you can say, okay, you know, that, you know, would take me maybe, you know, a week of work and additional kind of, don't know, one man month of a analyst in addition, and that would amount to, don't know, X numbers of euros or dollars or whatsoever, yeah. And so that people get a little bit of feeling of what are the costs. Of course, you can also, you know, come up with, oh, okay, we can work on this, but then we can't do these kind of nice things and present it as opportunity costs. But I think that is something, you know, it's a different perspective to have on the work. Yeah. And it's a perspective that, for example, management consultants would have if they come into your organization and decide, you know, or advise your management on how to streamline your organization, for example. Yeah. So they would go into these kind of discussions with the people. And of course, that is not something that is stable also over time as well. Yeah. So something that, you know, was quite innovative and great today may be completely standard in 2 or 3 years.
Not that quickly, but yes, maybe in 10 years.
It depends. Yeah, but you know, the key thing is also you can't stop, yeah? Because if you stop being innovative, if you stop improving, chances are that, you know, your work gets more and more standardized. And the more standardized it becomes, the more easily it is to outsource things.
Yeah, but I think it's also a discussion. I mean, this is just a general, general thoughts that we have now, but it deeply depends on the type of organization and environment that you are working on. So, for example, if, as we said, there are things that are difficult to outsource. For example, the internal communication, the internal commitment to the product and the development of the protocol of the strategy, with regards to statistics over, you know, bringing a component to life. And that is something that is, you know, you can't outsource. So yep. that needs to be something in-house. So if you're in such a position and most of the other work is outsourced anyway, then, you know, you don't even have to think about costs because, I mean, not in the meaning of in the fear of being outsourced yourself. I mean, there might be rare occasions that I saw, for example, where the farmer statistician was a freelancer being brought in-house. Let's call it in-house, even though it didn't feel like being in-house. But and that usually doesn't work very well. And
yeah, so I think the key is we are speaking here really about outsourcing in a way that outsourcing to another company. So of course you can always kind of bring in freelancers, and sometimes you have these, you know, long-term freelancers that work within the companies for years and years and years. that's more insourcing than outsourcing, I would call it.
No, what I was going to say actually is that doesn't work very well.
Yeah.
It doesn't work very well for the company, and usually not for the outsourcing piece of the CRO, because the connection, there's a lack of connection between. So that's why I think, you know, if you're working in-house in the company as a statistician and being as a project statistician, let's say, so this is, I don't think there's a, you know, that any company at the moment would be think about outsourcing this position, wouldn't it?
Yep. Yeah. Well, unless you go really extreme and basically outsource a complete development. Yeah. That you say, okay, we give this, you know, development up to, let's say, proof of concept. We give it, you know, to an organization. Here's the money. Off you go, just do it. And when you're done, come back, and then we may consider to buy the product back. Yeah, something like that. That's also happening, but that's a completely different game.
Yeah, yeah, it's a full outsourcing, really. Yeah.
The other thing, I think this kind of mindset of making yourself outsourcing proof is to go through your task list a little bit more aggressively and think about, What is it that only you can do? And what are the pieces that maybe someone else could do better, cheaper, faster?
So you mean to basically already divide the work into pieces that are not or difficult to outsource and others that are saving you a lot of work?
Yeah, because that's the other piece that you can think of yourself. Yeah, so try to kind of, you know, gradually over time, get rid of the work where, you know, that's easily outsourceable, and, you know, delegate that to vendors, and, you know, build up more and more time where you work on those things that are less outsourceable, you know, exactly the things that we just talked about, you know, discussion of design, coming up with a strategy, innovative ideas, building customer relationships, these kind of things.
Yeah, and I think if you find things that you think are potential being worth being outsourced, you should ask the questions to why this is the case. Either really, I mean, maybe actively try to outsource them, or could also be that they need to be improved, because it's not, they're not running the way or as effective as they should be running. So that is, you know, this would be things to consider to change, to improve yourself, and then to make yourself outsourcing proof.
Yeah. So basically, to go through the steps, can I eliminate it? Can I automate it? Or can I delegate/outsource it? Yeah, yeah. One important thing about that is, of course, you need to have a good discussion with your supervisor about these things as well, so that he, you know, understands or has the same understanding of, you know, why certain things are better being outsourced and why certain things are better done in-house. So there should be a good alignment there. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's, you know, maybe, you know, I don't want to make anyone panic here. So it may just not be a topic. So it's, you know, I think especially not going to your supervisor, just, you know, hey, listen, I made myself outsourced, by the way.
Yeah, you don't want to come with, well, these 80% of the tasks that I'm doing, actually someone as a CRO can do faster, quicker, and cheaper, and whatsoever. Yeah,
that's not the goal. I mean, that's really not the goal of this conversation. It's really about, you know, first of all, it's if this is a topic in the company, then it's worth, you know, having more thoughts about it. And also, if it's not a topic in the company, then it's worth having some thoughts around it and checking, you know, whether things can be approved, or, you know, what pieces are more, you know, safer, and also to make the environment, your company aware of what you're doing, and just increasing your own value. So that are natural things, but then you maybe shouldn't talk to your supervisor about outsourcing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think it's a gradual thing. Yeah, so yes. One task at a time. So just, you know, some thoughts about questions you can ask yourself to find out about what are the things that are really your unique, not outsourceable contributions. And you can think about that is, you know, from your business partner's perspective, you know, would your business partner care if that task is not done by you anymore, but by someone else? Is that, you know, would they even notice? Or maybe extreme, might they be even better off? So I think... thinking from
if they don't notice you did something
wrong. yeah but it could be, you know, that your the task is outsourced and you're only left with the oversight. Yeah. So that could be the case.
That's true.
So but I think it's also, you know, looking through that and checking whether you like doing these kind of things that are key for internal things, statisticians, or whether you actually prefer to work on those tasks that, you know, maybe are easier to outsource. Could be the case as well. Hmm. Yeah. So that is then maybe, you know, a hint in terms of what is your career development. Is that really something within the current company? Or maybe you're actually better off in another company. Yeah. So I've seen, people that, you know, there was a strategy change within the company where, it was more pressure on outsourcing. And there was just clear discussion. Okay. These are the tasks that we want to outsource. These are the tasks that we want to keep internally. And so one person I know of, said, well, then I think I'll leave the company because I like doing these tasks that you want to outsource, which is fine. Yeah. I think, but it's great to have, you know, a thought about these things, and rather than, let's say, be them done to you, be proactive and intentional about it. That's, I think, the key summary. Yeah,
and I think in the example that you just mentioned, I mean, why I know people that you know, that started just their own company, mm-hmm. or a freelancer. So, just, I mean, it did happen. Not well. In some ways, it was, you know, by accident, let's say. In others, it was you know, by a free choice. So the there are always options, especially for statisticians. I think this is it's an excellent time for statisticians to find the spot, to find the way of where you want to do it, for whom or for yourself. These are all questions that can be asked easily. And so, yeah, maybe after all, you say, okay, might be a good way of doing something else.
Yeah. Maybe you're so niching down on a specific thing that you can do amazingly well, better than, you know, nearly everybody else in the world. But there's, you know, not enough work for this specific task in your company. And you would be better off saying to the company, well, I want to help you with this, but I also want to help other companies with that. And, you know, just economically, it makes better sense if I start as a freelancer or start my own, you know, company and offer this as a productized service. Yeah. So I think it's good to have kind of these reflections on your day-to-day work and how, you know, your work environment might look completely different, maybe better, if you think about these kind of things. So I personally really worked very, very hard over the years to get rid of all the things that I thought I'm not pretty good at. And there's lots of zeros that can do that much better. And delegated that. And it only actually, it boosted my promotions, I think, because I think it's, you know, I was spending more time on the things that I love, the things that I'm good at, and the things that were highly visible. For me.
Yep. So maybe we should rename this into how to reassess your own value or something.
Okay, very good. So with that, we are actually having a little bit of a shorter episode. Actually, not shorter. It's actually in our kind of target time.
Aim for targets.
So thanks a lot for listening. And talk to you next week.
Bye.